Continue with us as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our invocation will be led by Douglas M. Nally, who is our student body president. Doug Nally, would you come and lead us as we pray, and may we bow together now as we go to the Lord.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you on this solemn night, we give thanks to you for your almightiness. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, who provided the salvation for our sins. We thank you for the calling of God upon our lives, O Lord. And Father, for the wonderful privilege that you have given us as your children to be involved in your kingdom's work. We thank you, dear Lord, for the Southern Baptist Convention as it celebrates its sesquicentennial this year. We thank you for their commitment to missions and their commitment to theological education. We thank you for this seminary, dear Lord, for its faculty, for the sacrifices that they make in order that we may learn. We thank you for the administration, for the staff, for their leadership. And Father, we thank you for the students here, for the faithfulness that they have in obedience to your divine call, for their families, dear Lord, and the sacrifices that they have made in order that we may be able to come to school and learn. And Father, we thank you for the family and friends who have provided us with the encouragement and support down through these years. Father, we thank you for them tonight. And we pray that you would bless us in this service tonight. We pray, dear Lord, that through this time of worship, we may see you. We pray that you will bless us in our ministries that are to come. And Father, we pray for our speaker tonight, that as he shares your word, O Lord, that we may see Christ. Bless us tonight, O Lord, as we bless you, is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
It is a consummate joy to welcome each of you tonight to Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Especially do we want to welcome those of you who are parents, spouses, friends, relatives of those who will be graduating tomorrow. It is a high and happy time for each of them, and it is made more special by your presence here on the campus. You've come at a beautiful time of the year. If you're not familiar with our campus, if this happens to be the first time you've been here, we're so very grateful to have you here, and we are available to help you in any way. If you have a need, you just spot someone that looks to be a professor and ask him, and whatever it is that you have need of, even up to money, he will provide for you. And so we do welcome you to Southeastern Seminary, and we're grateful to have you here for this particular time. This is a service of worship when we just give thanks to the Lord for all that he's done for all of us, but especially for these men and women who have completed a sojourn in education and have come to that important point in life when they are awarded the degrees that they have earned in the morning. And so we're glad to have you here for this tonight, and we want you to find your hymn book right now and turn to hymn 406, The Solid Rock. And as John Davis comes to lead us, we want you to stand with us, please, as we sing, Would You Stand?
Support me to the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand,
Our scripture passages tonight have to do with those false prophets who dream up something to say and claim it's from God. And I trust that none of us here among our graduates will ever do that in their preaching and teaching, their ministry. We're reading from Jeremiah chapter 23 and from Jude verses 8 through 10 and 17 through 25. I have heard what the prophets have said, whose prophecy in my name, saying, I have a dream, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream, and he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. And then in Jude, likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with evil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensuous persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. And this is the word of the Lord. Let's bow together to pray. Our most holy Father, we are awed as we stand before you tonight and think about your words and think about your word as we have come to know that word in Jesus Christ, the supreme revelation of who you are. But Father, as we preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, may we not say, I've had a dream, but say, I've read what God says. Lord, keep us faithful. And we pray for the people across this nation who hunger for your word, that they will hear it. And that those who, though they may be sincere, speak only their own religious platitudes and their own opinions, that they may come to find the riches in your word. We thank you tonight for the privilege of studying in this place, for the privilege of studying where the Bible is believed to be true, and where we know that you speak to us in your word, and that by your Holy Spirit, it comes home to us in our hearts, convicting us, encouraging us, admonishing us. And in that word, we hear the very voice of our Savior. And we thank you tonight, Father, for this time of worship, to come and celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ, to lift up the name of God and praise you and thank you for your wonderful blessings and the celebration tonight for all that you've accomplished in these students in the last two or three years. We thank you, Father, for your graciousness in the days to come and for the anointing that you'll put upon their ministries. And we pray for great things as they go into a full-time effort to preach and teach and minister and love and counsel and touch people with the grace of God. We praise you for allowing us to have the privilege just to be involved in your work. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Southeastern Seminary has a marvelous and wonderful tradition of scholarship. The faculty that you see here before you represents degree work that has been done in universities and seminaries and schools around the world, literally. As a part of our academic program, the faculty has the opportunity to select some members of the student body, some of which will be in the graduating class and some will be not yet to that stage, but nevertheless having achieved already in certain areas. And the faculty has the opportunity to select these for special awards. A number of gracious and godly people have provided endowments that make possible awards recognizing the academic achievements of some of our students. And truly, one of the privileges of the dean of the faculty is to represent the faculty in calling the names and awarding these awards to these students. I'm going to read a brief description of each one and then call the name of the individual, and if you will simply come from where you're seated here to the platform, I'll present the award to you. First of all, the R.T. Daniel Award in Old Testament. It is presented to a student who has demonstrated exceptional ability and achievement in the study of Old Testament. The recipient for 1995 is Eldon Lester Rich. The Nanny Bruce Nelson Award in New Testament is presented to a graduating senior for excellence in the study of the New Testament. The award is in the form of a certificate and money for the purchase of books, and the recipient for 1995 is Stephen Eugene Brown. The Paulino de los Reyes and Joseph Block Greek Prize is awarded to a student who has demonstrated excellence in the study of the Greek language on the elementary level or on the advanced level, and who shows promise as a Greek exegete or research scholar. The prize is to be used to purchase books related to the Greek language, these books to be chosen in consultation with the student's professor of Biblical Greek. The recipient for 1995 is Jeffrey Neal Licklider. The Edward A. McDowell, Jr. Greek Award
is awarded to a student who has demonstrated excellence in the study of the Greek language on the elementary level or on the advanced level, and who shows promise as a Greek exegete or research scholar. This award is to be used to purchase books related to Greek language, and these books are to be chosen in consultation with the student's professor of Biblical Greek. The 1995 recipient is Stephen Patrick Donahue. The American Bible Society presents an award to a student recognized by the faculty as having demonstrated exceptional ability in the study of the Scriptures. The criteria include the number of hours completed in the biblical field and the grade point average on that work. The Bible Society this year has provided a copy of the Hebrew Bible to be awarded to this outstanding student. However, the faculty determined that there were two who deserved this award this year, and thus a second Hebrew Bible was provided by the faculty, and there are two recipients of the American Bible Society Award. For 1995, these are Mark T. Billington and Howard M. Brooks. The J. Lake Williams Award in Christian Ethics is presented to a student who has exhibited exceptional skill and promise in the study of Christian ethics. The recipient for 1995 is Kenneth Dwayne Hastings. The Williams White Award for the Practice of Christian Social Concern is presented to a student who has shown exceptional skill and dedication in his or her involvement in some form of Christian social ministry or practical application of the Christian ethical concern. And the recipient for 1995 is John Mark Vermillion. The Bessie M. Sarche Award in Preaching is presented to a student who has demonstrated exceptional achievement in preaching. And the recipient for 1995 is Irvin Ray Millsaps. The Southern Baptist Religious Education Association presents an award to a graduating senior based on academic performance, leadership potential, and promise for educational ministry. The money is to be used for continuing education resources in the educational dimension of ministry. The recipient for 1995 is Rusty Neal Garrett. These last two awards are both awards that are considered to be the top award for the respective groups for that they are named. The Associate Excellence Award is presented to a graduating senior in the Associate of Divinity class who has excelled in scholarship, leadership, spirituality, and promise of ministry. The award is in the form of cash, which is designated for the purchase of books for his or her library. And the recipient for 1995 is John Robert Yevok. Broadman and Holman, the publishing company of the Southern Baptist Sunday School Board, provides the Broadman Holman Seminarian Award. It's an award given to the graduating senior in the Master of Divinity class. This individual is chosen based on two criteria. First, more than one half of the credit hours for this degree must have been completed at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And then from that group of students, the recipient is the student who has maintained the highest academic grade point average in the class. And the recipient for 1995 is Kai John Carrigan. I think you would want to know that the total award is a full set of the ones that have been published so far of the New American Commentary series. This is one volume, and you can come by my office and pick up the rest. Now, I would like to recognize Barry Jimerson for a special presentation on behalf of the graduating class.
You would join me, Dr. Patterson? Dr. Patterson, I've had the honor and the privilege of representing the Master of Divinity senior class this year. Most of us in the 1995 Master of Divinity graduating senior class came to Southeastern in 1992, the same year you came to Southeastern. We represent the first Master of Divinity class to go through a full 3-year program under your leadership. And for your leadership, we say thank you. As a sign of our love and appreciation for this wonderful seminary, we would like to present this King James Version of the Bible. Along with the Bible, you'll find down front a stand made by one of our graduating seniors, Greg Carroll. If you will look inside of the front cover of the Bible, you will find all the signatures of the 1995 Master of Divinity class. Dr. Patterson, we would invite you to sign on the opposite page as a symbol of your acceptance of this Bible for Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary.
Thank you. Well, it'll be my joy to do that. And then just a moment, I'm going to hold it up where you can get a better look at it. And I might add that I got a little advanced look at it today, and on some page here somewhere, maybe toward the end,
at the very back,
all of the previous presidents of the institution have their names inscribed therein also. And just so you can kind of see it, let me hold it up there. There are the names of all the graduating class there on that side. And this is the Bible that I'll carry with me all over the world as I speak in various places. No, it will be our beautiful Bible there that we will use as a focal point to remind us that, as Adolf Schlatter, the German theologian, used to say all the time, we stand under the Word of God. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. It's my great joy tonight to present to you, for our challenging message this evening, Dr. Richard Land, the president of the Christian Life Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. In just a moment, William A. Pakowski, graduating senior, is going to come and bring our message in music. And as soon as he has done that, you'll be listening to Dr. Richard Land. Dr. Land is a graduate of Princeton University, where he earned his bachelor's degree. I'm probably one of the few people that have ever had the opportunity to read his bachelor's dissertation, since folks just don't go around reading dissertations very often. But I had a particular reason to read it, because he wrote his bachelor's dissertation at Princeton on four noted early Baptist leaders, one of which I was introduced to through that writing, and ultimately did my own doctoral dissertation on the theology of that particular individual. And so, for many reasons, I owe Dr. Land my deepest appreciation, that being only one of many. Upon the completion of his bachelor's degree at Princeton, he came to New Orleans Seminary. That was where I met him. It is hard for many people to believe, but he served with me at Bethany Baptist Church there, where he was minister of evangelism. And so here is an ethicist who is also involved evangelistically. Upon completing his Master of Divinity degree at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, he chose to hop across the pond and to complete his DPhil degree, his Doctor of Philosophy degree at Oxford. He is church historian par excellence. He is a preacher. He is a biblical study expert. He loves the Lord with all of his heart. And he represents Baptists today as he speaks all over the country on the serious ethical and moral issues of our day. I love him very much, and I'm grateful to God for his impact on my own life. And graduates particularly, I want you to hear what he has to say tonight. So as soon as we have listened to Bill Pakowski, then we'll be listening to Dr. Richard Land as he brings the message for this evening.
Helpless, won't you feed their hungry souls? Brother, sister, time is short now. Serve in love, live by faith, for the things of earth are passing, and this could be the day. This could be the day that the Lord returns in glory. This could be the day when he calls his children home. So be faithful in service as you watch and pray for this. This could be the day. In these days of desperation, when it's so hard to live right, turn away from all temptation. You must fight against the night. Brother, sister, time is short now. Serve in love, live by faith, for the things of earth are passing, and this could be the day. This could be the day that the Lord returns in glory. This could be the day when He calls His children home. So be faithful in service as you watch and pray for this. This could be the day. This could be the day we must give of our lives. For in the wink of an eye, He will come. He will come for His bride. This could be the day that the turns in glory. This could be the day when He calls His children home. So be faithful in your service as you watch and pray for this. Oh, this could be the day.
Amen. It is a delight to have the opportunity to be with you on this very special occasion. And I checked my degree before I left and discovered that I graduated 23 years ago tonight from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. And being here has brought back many memories. I received the same year that I received the first Brodmann Seminarian Award at New Orleans Seminary, Dr. Galeotti received the same award in its inaugural year at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, but we didn't get as nice a gift as the recipient got tonight. We were told that we would receive the old Brodmann commentary, but they weren't going to give us Volume 1. We're going to have to wait for the revision. Actually, Volume 1 was worth more than all the rest combined in terms of on the open market. But it is a special time. I remember my parents and my mother-in-law and sisters-in-law and other relatives coming, as your relatives have come to see you at this very important event in your lives. And you know, perhaps more than anyone, how much they have sacrificed and how much they have contributed to your achievement of this evening. This is a time for joy. It is a time for remembrance. It is a time for consecration and resolve for the future. I want you to take your Bibles, if you have them, and turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 6, I want to give you a metaphor. I want to give you an image to carry with you, because as you stand on the threshold of a lifetime of ministry, having been prepared during an exciting time, a period of transformation in our country and in the seminary, to go forth to be God's men and God's women, I want you to think with me about what God had his prophet Jeremiah say to his people. Chapter 6, beginning with verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the old ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. If there was ever a time that God has sent watchmen to stand watch on the walls, to sound the alarm, to say to the people, return to the old path. Stand in the right ways. Choose between the life of death and cursing or a path of life and blessing. It is now. I cannot think of a time in the history of the American nation when we have been at a more critical juncture. And we haven't seen anything yet. You have been called in the providence of God to go forth as soldiers in His army, as ministers in His service, in literally a realized, walking, talking, breathing version of Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. Just this afternoon, after I arrived at Reese Guest House, I received a phone call from a New York Times reporter who is doing a story for the Sunday edition of the New York Times on genetic engineering and the attempts by American businesses to copyright and patent human genes and new created life forms, human and animal. This is the technological equivalent of the Tower of Babel. It is a full-scale revolt by humankind against the deity of God. It is not that we no longer believe in God. It's not that we want to rebel against God. We want to be God. We want to create life. We want to create life not even in our image, but in some new image. Shaping for ourselves living idols to our own whims and our own finite ideas of perfection and beauty and utility. Romans chapter 1 tells us of the downward spiral of sin. How the only thing that is perhaps more awesome about sin than its consequences is its ability to beget ever greater, ever more heinous sin. Romans 1 gives us a graphic description of that downward spiral of sin till finally we get to the place that we are without natural affection. That phrase is a translation of a Greek phrase which talks about the natural love that a mother has for her children. We live in a nation where we kill an unborn baby every 20 seconds. where we kill 3 unborn babies a minute, 180 babies an hour. Over the last 22 years, 1 out of every 3 babies conceived in the United States. Yesterday, I was faxed information from the National Right to Life Committee in Washington, D.C. They are seeking to verify with certainty reports that are now coming from various parts of China, that China, with its mandatory abortion policy, where they forcibly take women and hold them in custody until they agree to have an abortion or else they abort them without their will after they've had one child, that now there are reports that in various parts of China, they are consuming fetal remains as food. And that the women are talking about the remarkable effect that it has on the youthfulness of their complexion and their skin. They've lost the ability to blush. Neither were they ashamed when they committed abomination. Abomination is piled upon abomination. God has called us to be the watchman on the wall, sounding the alarm. As I thought about what I would say to you tonight, I was reminded of a speech that had a particular impact on me. It was a speech delivered by my personal hero, the man I admire most who is not in the ministry, General Douglas MacArthur. The speech is known as the Duty, Honor, Country speech. He gave it to the Corps of Cadets at West Point in 1962. A copy of that speech was on my bedroom wall as I was a teenager and a young adult. And I thought about, now, how would such a message go if instead of speaking to a Corps of Cadets who were taking an oath to defend the Constitution and the people of the United States, if instead I were to give a message to a corps of ambassadors for Christ, men and women who are in the service of the Savior. Well, here is my humble attempt at an answer. I want you to take your Bibles, keeping in mind that watchman metaphor, that watchman symbol, and I want you to turn with me to the 26th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26.